Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community. The CommunityEducationNetwork.com, the podcast Conscious Corner, and this show are platforms to aid the effort of self and collective improvement. I am your host, Rasaki Maskani. The guest for this evening is Harold Welton. The topic is Rochelle Cinque McGee. Mr. Welton was a guest on Conscious Corner on February 21st, about 2 months ago. Let me show that. Go to that 1 second here. Here it is. There it is. Hey, this is the show that Mr. Welton was on, and it was on Conscious Corner with Professor Amin-Ra and Joe Hembrick. And it's an excellent show. It's on YouTube and the website. The audio is on the website, right?
Right.
Okay, so now, Mr. Welton, welcome back. It's good to see you. How are you? Please tell us some things about yourself and begin your presentation.
Well, I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you very much. Quick background, I grew up in Los Angeles. In my teens, I became a member of a Los Angeles chapter of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, later East Los Angeles College Black Student Union, Southern California chapter of Black Panther Party. And after the martyrdom of George Jackson, I became part of an organization called the Jonathan Jackson Educational Cadre, which was born in what is called the Avalon Garden Projects. And currently, I'm involved in the Coalition to Free Rochelle McGee, who's been in prison for 59 years in the state of California. Prior to that, he was in prison for 8 years in Angola prison in Louisiana from 1955 to 1963. He was captured in 1955, August, at the little after Emmett Till was mutilated and murdered for allegedly whistling at a white woman, where Rochelle McGee was captured for alleged attempted rape of a 23-year-old white woman in Franklinton, Louisiana. And he went to prison, Angola, which was a former slave plantation. He was in Angola for 8 years. He was released to California. And when he got to California, he was arrested for allegedly robbing a dope dealer, if you will, and alleged kidnap over a $10 bag of weed. And he ended up in the California prison system. And so part of the backstory that I just talked about in terms of Rochelle McGee. What we're attempting to do primarily with the Coalition to Free Rochelle McGee, we're attempting to get him free through clemency or commutation. In Los Angeles, he's been a political prisoner, like I said. I mean, in California, he's been a political prisoner for 59 years. And if you add the 8 years from Louisiana, Angola prison, it's a total of over 67 years in prison. I forgot to mention that Rochelle McGee and the Louisiana alleged kidnapping, attempted a rape of the married white woman. He was just 16 years. So Rochelle only knows 16 years of this side of the wall. You want me to continue? Okay, I'll continue. Yeah.
Yes, you could tell us more about it, and then we could share the petition when you're ready for that.
Okay. All right. Shell McGee, when he was imprisoned in California, he studied law. And I don't like to say jailhouse lawyer. Rochelle has a brilliant understanding of alleged law in the state of California and federal law. Rochelle has attempted to do petitions, writs of habeas corpus, to not only overturn or get a hearing for the 1963 Los Angeles conviction, but he's also been trying to get a petition of writ habeas corpus for the August 7th, 1970 slave revolt in Marin County, California. That involved four brothers. Three were in prison at the time, and then 17-year-old Jonathan Jackson. Rochelle was one of the three or four of the prisoners. So Jonathan went in the courtroom and told prisoners that were on trial at that time, August 7, 1970, for allegedly assaulting the San Quentin guard. When Jonathan came in the courtroom, he offered weapons, if you will, to those that were in the court at that time. Three of them took weapons, and they proceeded with the negotiation tools, if you will, to get what were called the Soledad brothers free. They left the courtroom, and as they proceeded out of the court parking lot, the San Quentin guards, along with the Marin County sheriffs, opened up on the van that they were in, the rented van that they were in. And they killed Jonathan Jackson, James McClain, William Christmas. William Christmas and James McClain were prisoners in San Quentin. Rochelle McGee was wounded in that. We call him the sole survivor. He was wounded in that. The judge was killed, and the district attorney was wounded, and three women jurors were wounded. To put some more backstory on that, Angela Davis, if we're familiar with Angela Davis, Angela Davis was charged with the same charges that Rochelle was charged with: conspiracy to murder, murder, and kidnapping. Angela, because she had worldwide support, Angela, after about 2 years, was acquitted of all charges, murder, conspiracy to murder, kidnapping. Rochelle McGee, after two trials, was acquitted of the conspiracy to murder and murder. They pressured Rochelle McGee into taking a plea of guilty on the kidnapping, aggravated kidnapping, which he later recanted. So, and then plus, the first trial, he had a shabby lawyer. So that was a factor in the beginning of him pleading guilty to the aggravated kidnapping. Mind you, the fact that he was acquitted of the murder and conspiracy to murder of the judge, we have a man now that's 83 years old, 59 years in the California system, 51 years since August 7, 1970, for kidnapping. We did, we being the Coalition to Free Rochelle McGee, we did research, and the average sentence in California for murder overall is 15 years. So again, Rochelle McGee was not convicted of a murder. I'll give you another backstory on the guards and what they did as far as their no escape policy, just killing everybody. Angela gave a speech, Angela Davis gave a speech shortly after she got out of prison. And she talked about when San Quentin guard was called to the witness stand to testify. One of the things this San Quentin guard talked about was there no escape clause. So Leo Branton, who was one of Angela's attorneys, asked him a litany of questions about hostages. He started off with the judge and the hostages and the district attorney. If you could do it again, and I'm paraphrasing, if you could do it again, would you do it? Essentially, he said yes, because of our no escape policy. So Leo Branton asked him another question around this. He started multiplying the amount of judges, DAs, and hostages. He eventually got to the point where he added children as hostages. And I think this guard's name was Sergeant Mooney. Sergeant Mooney said, when Leo Branton asked him, would the no escape policy be in effect? He said, yes, it would. And so we have to understand, this man is talking about women and more judges and kids. So I want to go back to January 1970. January 1970, Soledad Prison O-Wing, which is like the whole 24-hour lockup. White and African prisoners were allowed on the exercise yard in January. The guards knew that there would be a fight, and there was. And the way the policy was, the way they break up fights was to shoot, right? They ended up shooting three Black prisoners, Alvin Miller, Cleveland Edwards, and W.L. Nolan were martyred. White boys, nothing happened. I think one got wounded by a ricochet. So this guard, believe it or not, his name was Opie Miller, right? Opie Miller was investigated by the grand jury in Salinas County as to was he going to be charged with murder or manslaughter. Well, he wasn't charged with anything. And I think it was like a week after that, a guard at Soledad ended up dead. And the note was tagged to his uniform stating that one down, three to go. And it was indicating this was in retaliation for the three Black prisoners that were martyred that day. The grand jury of Salinas handed down indictments about a week and a half later, possibly two, and they charged George Jackson, Fleeta Drumgo, and James McClain, John Pluchette, with the murder of the guard, to show you how they were operating. They said, in terms of George Jackson, they said he's the only one that could have done. And out of that, a movement developed. It was called Free the Soledad Brothers. This is where Angela Davis comes in. Angela Davis was one of the organizers of the Free the Soledad Brothers. And the Soledad Brothers case got national and international attention in addition to what was called at the time the New Prison Movement. We move into after August 7th, 1970, the August 7th slave revolt. We move to August 21st, 1971. George Jackson, the author of two books, Soledad Letters and Blood My, George Jackson had a visit from his lawyer and some mysterious woman that no one has been able to find since then. In this visit, George spoke to his lawyer, and after he left the visit, mind you, he was chained feet and hands, allegedly while on his way, on the way back, guarded by two San Quentin guards, he allegedly pulled a gun. The first lie was he pulled a gun out of his Afro wig he smuggled in, right? The most watched prisoner in California at the time. And a lot, it was a big, big story back then, right? So a group, I forgot the group that did it, they did a demonstration of George chained, being guarded by two San Quentin guards with a gun, a 9mm under his natural. That didn't work. So the San Quentin warden and guards and so-called investigators came up with a new theory. The new theory was he hid a 9mm in his natural, his fro. And when he got to the reception area of the adjustment center, the hole, he allegedly, now remember he's chained, right? He allegedly got back to the entrance reception area of the adjustment center and pulled the gun out of his hair and allegedly started shooting, right? And in between that, the adjustment center prisoners were let out of the cells, and a total of three guards were killed and two were wounded, and two white prisoners were killed. Out of that, we have what was called the San Quentin Six. And that was the scapegoat for George allegedly attempting to escape prison. So again, we have Rochelle McGee, and we say it's political, and it really is. It's a political case because all we're looking at is so-called kidnapping. And again, 59 years later, he's still in prison. And that's Rochelle McGee. One of the things we have in the coalition is we're asking people to sign the petition at freerochellemcgeechange.org. As you see right now, we have over 33,000 signatures. We want people to sign this petition. In addition, if we can go to our website. Okay. Sorry, man. That's the young brother I wanted to speak. But anyway, this is our website. And we're calling for several things. We're calling for petitions. If you can click on sign the petition. All right, scroll down. All right. This particular petition right here is going to the governor's office. And then we have another petition that we're asking people to sign for letters, template. We have a template letter. And we're asking people to sign it. If we can clip them in, yeah, let's see if it comes out. There it is. That's the template right there. And we also have been negotiating with the governor of California for commutation and clemency. But in addition, we're asking for funds, donations. We have a donation page. If you scroll down, I think it's towards the end. Oh, okay. You have to come out of that part of it. We've been negotiating with lawyers right now to assist us in either commutation, clemency, or a new law that's called 1170D, 1178, where people who are a certain age or juveniles with juveniles, I mean, people in prison with juvenile strikes or enhancements, we're trying to go that route. But all of this depends on Rochelle giving us permission to bring him a lawyer in on the case. All right, I think it's this one right here where it says, right, Governor Gavin Newsom, if you can click on that. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so that's that part is where we are sending in letters to the governor's office. One of the challenges we face with the governor staff, and we're being pragmatic, one of the challenges we face with this staff is they told us, well, you know, okay, you have an 83-year-old man, right? We believe that Rochelle may be on a walker at this time. And one of the challenges that we have with that is the governor's staff said, well, we're going to have to consider his potential for violence, right? This man has been in 51 years since August 7, 1970, and he has no violence on his records, no incidents of being involved in any violence. So again, we go back to it's political. It's political in nature. We have studied that folks have gotten out of prison as recent as maybe 5 years in for kidnapping, and they're out. But this case, in addition to the judge who was killed by the guards and the political nature of the case is political in the sense of us not being able to get our brother out. So we're trying to get build this mass movement. We've been on different interviews. We have a billboard. Black Lives Matter donated the money. We have a billboard on near Overhill and Slauson. If you go west, viewers, brothers, if you go west on Slauson, right across the street from the 7-Eleven, on the left side, if you're going west, you see our billboard of Rochelle McGee. It says, call Governor Newsom for clemency for Rochelle McGee. We've had banner drops where we have banners, these two banners that are 6 feet by 20. And we go to different overpass with the banners hanging over the old overpass. And that's been very effective. When we do that, we have cars stopping on the freeway, taking pictures. We had a webinar, these different things that we're doing. We had a webinar, although we called it a virtual rally, 3 days after Rochelle's 83rd birthday, March 17th, was his birthday. March 19th, we had a webinar We had Angela Davis, and I believe this was Angela Davis's first time in years coming out in support of Rochelle McGee and his release. We had Malina Abdullah of Black Lives Matter. We had a former political prisoner, Jaleel Muta King. He was in prison for 43 years. He was on the virtual rally. And we had Jonathan Jackson's son, who's now 50 years old. He was on the webinar. And there it is. That's it. That's clemency for Rochelle McGee. And we have a lot of other things that we're planning in terms of building this movement. We're getting a lot of support from a lot of different organizations. If you can, could you go back to our website? I want to see if we can get to the different organizations that have supported us. We've been trying to get these some of these politicians in LA, Southern California to support us, but none have gotten back to us. We got some good news this week. I can't remember the name. I blanked on the name. Rutgers. Rutgers University. They're getting ready to do a political action to free Rochelle McGee. And they have access to media and support. So we're happy about that. And so if we can go to where it says endorse the campaign, that should bring up the list of organizations that are supporting us. It's at the very top. You see, if we can click on endorse, yeah, that should bring us. Okay, these are different organizations. We got Angela Davis, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Jaleel, Harold Taylor, Hank Jones, Bato, Dr. Malnes, and Sundiata Tate, David Giap. They were San Quentin Six members. You see all the different people supporting the Claude Mark. We got a lot of people supporting us. But we need more. And we have our meetings once a week. So we really want to move on this Rutgers support that we're going to get. And we're hoping that that brings a lot of attention to Rochelle's case. We have political prisoners all over this country from the late 60s, 70s, but not to compare political prisoners, but Rochelle McGee is one of the little known political prisoners of the times. So we have been successful in terms of putting the case out there. We've been on KPFK several times. Tavis Smiley has an AM station. We've been on there three times. And we're trying to spread the word. Free Rochelle St. Q. McGee. Let's get him out. And let this brother Joy enjoy the rest of his remaining years on this earth.
Yes, I agree with you. I need to let that brother out. I'm going to go to Professor Ra. Professor Ra, any questions, comments?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to commend Brother Harold for his relentless leadership and commitment to the struggle for this liberation of Rochelle. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see a brother standing up and trying to encourage everyone else to join in to, you know, fight for justice and fight for a person's life who's buried in prison. and keep his name in the forefront. And hopefully that will stimulate people and for him to educate himself with all the details that he discussed about the issues and about the challenges and about the personalities. And I mean, it's just commendable for the work that he's doing. And it's a blessing for Rochelle to have him in this corner. Quick question, how is Rochelle's health?
Rochelle may be on a walker. When we got a recent picture of Rochelle, mm-hmm. he looked good. He looked like he's still doing push-ups, you know. Mm-hmm. You see his arms. Mm-hmm. He looks good, mm-hmm. you know, and his spirit is still strong. We're trying to get Rochelle to, and giving all due respects to Rochelle, has only known this world on this side of the walls from 16 years old. But he still comes with the word, right? He seems calming down. But Jaleel Muti King, who was in prison for 5 years with Rochelle, said, we got to look at it this way. He said, he might curse you out sometimes. Sometimes he may not. He said, but if you get him out, he's going to love you to death. So we're trying to get him out. Rochelle, he's been communicating with us. We were able to contact one of his family members. And his family member has been giving him a lot of information on what the coalition is doing. And hopefully we can get a video visit with Rochelle soon. Mm-hmm. And so, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what was his original sentence?
His original sentence on the act, you mean on the charge of
For why he's in there now. You know, I mean, what was the original sentence? Was the original sentence 100 years or 15 years? Do you remember that or do you have info on that?
It was 10 with a top life. In other words, 10 to life. But 10 to life, he should have been out long time ago. But they doubled up with the aggravated kidnapping and the August 7th rebellion. So it's life.
Okay, so now what about his parole? Have you had any parole hearings?
Yeah, Rochelle has had 18 parole hearings since the 80s. And the last denial was July of last year, 2021. He's been denied time after time for frivolous, you didn't sign this. Oh, well, you're not showing any repentance. Oh, you should have been bowing to us, this and that. Again, he has to really walk on water to maybe even get close to a granting of a parole. But it still would have to come back to this governor. If let's say if he got granted parole last year, you still have to come back to the governor's office to finalize. But I want to say that Sirhan Sirhan, the man that allegedly killed Robert Kennedy, he was granted parole in San Diego last year. And you think about, not that I'm pushing the Kennedys, but you think about the magnitude of that. You know, this is Senator Kennedy. So the fact that he was even granted parole was significant. But when it got back to the governor's office, he was denied the parole because several of the Kennedy family members said they were against it, although one said they weren't against him being paroled. This shows you the difference between the two cases and the magnitude of the two cases.
They had any violations? I mean, I'm in support. I'm signing the petition. I'm gonna try to make a donation. I think I signed it the last time.
Okay, great.
But I'm gonna sign it again, and the letter too. But I mean, there's no max out on a life sentence?
No. Did you say the max out?
Yeah. I mean,
he got straight life because they doubled up on the original kidnapping and this kidnapping. Let me say this on the original kidnapping. One, we're talking about 1963, not that much has changed. Los Angeles, it doesn't matter. Rochelle was beaten when he was arrested. Undoubtedly, the Los Angeles Police Department saw that parole from Louisiana, white woman, attempted rape. We see that that's probably the reason that Rochelle got that 10 with the top life charge and beaten at that time. And I forgot to add, I think I talked about it last time. Sinkou Ntoumé from Senegal, early 1800s, commandeered took over a slave ship, right? They were able to, I don't like to use the word slave, but anyway, our brothers were able to maneuver to the island of Cuba, where they were captured by U.S. pirates, right? And brought to this place. They went through different hearings, levels of hearings, all the way up to the Supreme Court. Believe it or not, the Supreme Court of the 1800s granted them release on the fact that, yeah, they rebelled, and they had a right to rebel, which was like, if you look at that time, if we look at that time, that was like, what? So Rochelle, who calls himself Sinkou as well, he based his case August 7th on the fact that he was illegally convicted in 1963 in Los Angeles. And he has all the details of why, the type of representation he had, the atmosphere of the judge in the first trial and the second trial. So when you think about it, when Rochelle saw Jonathan coming in the courtroom and Jonathan made that offer, Rochelle was like, probably, yeah, I want to get out of here. But Rochelle always talks about originally they wanted to go to a radio station near San Francisco and talk about their case. Again, they did not kill anyone. The guards killed everyone and wounded Rochelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and you know, we have a number of political prisoners going all the way back to Nelson. Well, Europeans holding black people as political prisoners. Nelson Mandela, Jijaga Geronimo Pratt. You also had Mumia Abdul. Mumia Abdul Jamil, and then you have, like you said, a brother Jaleel Motakin, who was in jail with, that you mentioned, he did a lot of time too as a political prisoner. And it's just ridiculous for anyone 67 years in prison, or just 60, let's say 50 years, just on health, you know, you're supposed to let them out, you know, because they pose no threat, no danger. But it's like torture, and it's like, they're not just holding him in because of him. They're holding the whole Black community in. And we got to get the people to see that this is an attack on the community as a whole. It's torture and it's intimidation that these people can rob, kidnap, tear up the Capitol and get 6 months.
Right.
You know, they held people. They shot, people died and everything. They didn't charge them with murder. You know, it caused a heart attack. That girl got shot. Generally, if you go in a bank and the person with you gets shot, they charge you with that murder. They didn't charge nobody with burglary or nothing, no felonies hardly. So it just goes to show you the hypocrisy to hold a person in there in prison until they die. It's cruel and unusual punishment, especially if he's not psychotically danger to society. It's just something that, you know, the petitions and the demonstrations and the letters, that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, it's an indictment of this country, contradictions when it comes down to its treatment of African people incarcerated, this got to be presented in a way in which more people identify with Rochelle as an uncle, as a grandfather, as a great-grandfather, and as a person that represents a Black community as a whole, and to get the movement moving on a higher level. That's all I have to say right now.
Hey, thank you, brother.
All right, thanks for that, Professor Rob. Appreciate it. Okay.
I just put a picture of the latest picture we have on Rochelle in the chat box.
Save it.
Let me see. I don't know if you can see it.
I may be able to. I need to check.
Okay.
I think this is it right here. Let's see. Okay, yeah, I got it.
All right.
I'm going to share it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay, that's Rochelle. And as I said, it looked like brother's doing something with his arms. You know, it looked like he's standing fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Appreciate
where,
that.
Where is he at right now?
He's in Vacaville.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, that's a real good thing that you're bringing us this information so we could, you know, rally more people to help out with the situation, because it's ridiculous to have that brother sitting in that jail that long.
That's right.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to share before we leave this evening?
Call the governor. Can you raise up that number? Well, let me see if I can.
It's right here on that billboard, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
916-445-2841.
Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, good brothers. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. So, Professor Rye, any last words?
And just, we got to get to the college circuit. And, you know, they were out during COVID with some of the Black student unions and Pan-African student unions in the Cal State and UC system. Try to get them to start hosting speakers about political prisoners, focusing on Rochelle, and they can get money from the ASB to pay and for the speakers to come. I mean, that's what we used to do. We don't have that network like we used to, but if you can just, there's a Black Student Alliance. I don't know, I'm trying to get some of the people. If I get some names, I'll get them to you. I got the number.
Okay.
And have them call you and see if they'll, go get some ASB money. And even the community colleges should pay for speaker fees, You know, they can get between $1,500 $2,500 for a speech. You know, they got people coming there speaking and getting more than that, talking about nonsense, talking about climate change, talking about all kind of other stuff. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Mr. Weldon. Really do.
I see.
And we definitely want to have you back again. So I'll be in contact. And thanks, Professor Rye, for your input also.
It was very informative, very educational, and very motivational and heart-wrenching with regards to the torture that Brother Rochelle is going through. You know, that's ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'll try to get Cameron on. That was him calling. He had to work late today, so try to get him on next week. We got a lot of youngsters working with. Matter of fact, they're the ones that put that website together and doing a great job.
Okay, well, we can discuss how to get him on here.
Okay. Yeah.
So next week's guest is Catalina Nicole. She's a colleague of mine. We worked together a few years teaching. And the topic is mining your business. So we're going to be talking about her business that she has. So that should be very interesting. And Mr. Weldon, you're welcome anytime to come on and participate. It's open to the public. So,
okay.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off Conscious Corner and each one teach one. Have a good evening.
All right.
Yeah.